sermon title that the Lord gave me is When in Darkness Shine.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you for today. And we want to thank you that we could worship you. We want to thank you that you've given us this house to worship in. Well, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to all generations, including us. And now, Father, I'm going to ask that you would pour out your spirit and understanding upon us as we dig into this word here this morning, Lord. And we will give you the praise because it's your word, and you give us the opening of understanding. And we'll thank you for that now in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen and amen. This morning, Psalm 23. Most of us know this psalm by heart, but if you don't know it, I want to read this psalm to you. The Lord is... I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you have heard that at least 25, 35 times? In your life. Sometimes we hear these scriptures and they just become rote memory to us. And we really kind of miss some of the things that God is telling us through David, who wrote this psalm. In that psalm, David deeply talks about how God is leading him. And how we need to look at this, that God is leading us. Look at some of the places that David spoke of. Kathy, what are those places that he leads us to? Still waters, right? Green pastures. Have we ever stopped to think about verse 4? If God is leading beside still waters, if God is leading into green pastures, is God leading though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Most of us don't like to think about that one as if God, well, God, you know, I know you're only leading me to good things. But I want you to jump over now to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And one of the most powerful things that Isaiah gives to us. Verse 1, But now saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, he that formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by thy name, and you are mine. How many of yours in verse 2 says, does it begin with when? Huh? Can I agree, everybody here? Your verse starts with, I just want to make sure mine's correct here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Some of you may know where I'm heading today. The sermon title that the Lord gave me is When in Darkness Shine. I want to talk about that this morning. Because we look at these scriptures, and most of us like to think, well, you know, God is only going to lead me to good places. Because after all, He loves me so much. He would never put me in any other place except that which is the land of berries. Now, Judy and Philip, bless their little hearts, just came back from the land of pineapples. Okay. I'm happy for them. I really am. But is everything that God leads us to sweet and lovely and all of those things? Not according to what we just read here. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. So this morning, when in darkness, shine. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you jump back with me, let's go back. Moses leading these people of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Oh, that was just for the Israelites, right? No. You mean it's for us? John, is that for us? And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might take thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Your raiment did not wax old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. And how many of us would like that? Our feet wouldn't swell. And thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. So what do we hear from God here to the Israelites? That I'm just going to give you all the berries and the pineapples and the sweet things of life. Is that what God is saying? Marty, is that what God is saying? Absolutely not. Now, I hate to burst some bubbles because contrary to what some modern doctrines say, God will lead his children into dark wilderness areas. Because, listen, I remember when I first got into the ministry and the trend that was happening in all of our society around where I lived was that, wow, God is a God, he's going to give you all the good things of life. That's all he will do for you, is give you the good things of life. Now, that's a pretty popular message, and we all like to hear that, right? But unfortunately, that was not scriptural, and many people fell for that with everything that was in them. And then when things began to go the other direction, I didn't sign up for this. What kind of a God is this? I was promised good things, and now things are happening in my life. I can remember because I got out of Bible school, and I had been taught this lesson all the way through Bible school, and I got out, and I was so excited, and the Lord dealt with me, and he said, move to Oregon from California. I moved to Oregon, thinking that things were going to be sweet. I'm looking for the pineapples, Judy. I'm looking, you know, how many of you like fruit? All right. I like fruit, but I only like sweet fruit. And Laura's on me all the time. Because she'll buy fruit, put it in the refrigerator, I'll take a bite of it and say, that's not sweet, and put it back. Usually eat half of it. And she's like, why do you do that? It's like, it's not sweet. But I thought when I moved up there that I was looking for that. And I found everything the opposite of what I had been taught. Things began to fall apart. Listen, everything that I had done prior in the job that I was working didn't work. Matter of fact, I ended up paying my boss for all the mistakes that I made. Working for a carpet cleaning and furniture cleaning and drapery cleaning, everything I put my hand to seemed to go bad. I went to a very, very ritzy home, and she had a couch. And she said, can you clean this couch? I said, absolutely. And I cleaned it. And the next day she called and said, send him back. That couch had shrunk twice of its size. And the lady's looking at me like, can you fix this? That was a $2,000 couch. Now back in 1981, that was an expensive couch. I said, I can't fix that. I can't stretch it back out. That couch ended up costing me $2,000. It was the only time in my life that I've had to pay to work. Marty, 6 months, I paid to work. And I said, God, I am not happy with you. You think that made God shudder? I said, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. And I read this portion of Scripture. He humbled you, suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna. Let me tell you, during those days, God had to feed me with manna. Things would show up on my doorstep. Food. God did it. And God began to teach me some lesson that I did not know of. Why does God do this? To prove us and to strengthen us in our times of darkness. Anybody been in a time of darkness before? And I don't want to mislead you ever with the Word of God. Those seasons will come in our lives. And it's not new to mankind. There's nothing that's new under the sun. It's just that every generation seems to forget what God has said. But we look at the examples that we have. For example, let's look at Israel. God over and over and over again tested Israel. And which largely they failed every test that God brought. That's the reason why for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. It didn't take that long for them to get to the promised land. From calculations with the million or so plus people that were walking, it should have taken them probably 2 or 3 months. But it ended up taking them 40 years because they continued to disobey what God said to do. Now, Exodus chapter 16. If you jump back just a little bit, I'm just going to show you some things here. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to where they had been in bondage before. As if that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Come on now. They were in slavery. They were only able to eat what was given to them. Told what to eat, where to go, how to do it, and when to do it. And yet they're complaining here one more time. Numbers chapter 11. Again, Numbers chapter 11 tells us of where they really were at. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. That's a lie. You see how the enemy wants to bring back what was and say, Man, I was better off before this. We ate the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They're daydreaming. They were slaves. They didn't get to eat all that stuff. But yet that's what they were saying. We got to eat all this. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all except for this lousy manna. Now I want us to right here just stop. Stop right here. The Bible says to be content with such things as you have. How many complainers do we have among Christianity about what you don't have? And this is where they were at. All we have is this manna. And I forget what, there was an artist back in the 70s that wrote about this. They were complaining and said, All we have is manna bread. All we have is manna potatoes. All we have is this manna stuff. We're tired of manna. We want something else. And how many whiners and complainers do we have amongst Christianity? God says, stop that. Stop that and be content with what things that we have. They failed miserably. And manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof it was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it round in mills, beat it into mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout the families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. When you look at this, remember who led them into the wilderness. God led them into the wilderness. How many of us, when we're led into a place that we don't like, we begin to complain about it? None of us want that. We want the berries. We want everything that's good. There's another example. How about this man named Job? Right? Job had his day of testing. Jump over there with me. Because again, I don't want to ever pass over this. Job chapter 1, verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has buried and burned up all the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am only here to tell you about it. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The sons and your sons and their daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. It fell on the young men, and they are all dead, and I am escaped alone to tell you." Was Job having a bad day or what? Then Job arose, tore his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground and worshiped. How many of us would do that? Job is a rich man. Now, riches back in those days had to do with what you had as far as animals and livestock. He lost his camels. He lost his sheep. He lost his servants. I mean, this is one right after another. And then he loses his children. How would that feel, parents? You lose them all at one time. And Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now I want you to think about that for just a moment. Job, when we look at that, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." The test was passed. But it wasn't over yet. Then we jump down into chapter 2. Now here comes his biggest test, Job chapter 2, verse 9. Then his wife said unto him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this did Job sin not with his lips. Wow. Now, some people like to get down on Job's wife and say, "Man, what a horrible person." Job's wife was dealing with losing all of her children. Come on, think about that now. She was hurting. She was hurting. Miss Joyce, would you be hurting? She was hurting. And she spoke out. But Job passed that test as well. He was led there. He was led there in that test. Next, we move on to Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. And most of us recall this. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Who led him to the wilderness? The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness, into the dark place. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And Jesus said, "It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We just read that in Deuteronomy, didn't we? Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and they'll bear you up at any time, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said, "It is written, you will not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Marty, you understand that, don't you? And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Jesus used the Word of God to pass that test. Those tests that the enemy brought. And this is why Jesus knows when we're in our darkest hour. He knows. He knows. Because he has been there. There is no temptation that has ever come upon man that Jesus does not know about, church. He knows about it, and he's there with you, whether you feel him or not, there with you in that darkness. He's there. And again, Marty one day will give his testimony again soon, but Marty can tell you that. That Jesus is there. The last example that I want to bring to you is by two guys that we know of in the book of Acts. How many of you ever heard of the Apostle Paul before? You heard of him? You've been around here for at least a week or two, you've heard of him. And this is quite an interesting thing because when you look at Acts chapter 16, turn over there with me. Like Pastor Aaron's preached about these guys a few weeks ago. But Acts chapter 16. Here's the story, folks. Paul and Silas, minding their own business, preaching the gospel. Here comes this lady and she keeps yelling, "These men are men of the Most High God." She did that for days, till it finally got on Paul's nerves. You look at me strange like, well, Paul was a man of God. He never had problems like that. Yes, he did. And that lady got on his nerves. Because she kept interrupting while they were trying to preach. So these men are men of the Most High God. He knew she had a demonic spirit. And that demonic spirit gained her masters lots of money. By soothsaying and fortune telling and various things like that. So, after days, and I just wonder, I don't know whether, Claudia, I could have put up with it for days or not. If I had someone in here that was doing that, you did that one or two times, I'm going to be done with that, okay? But days he put up with it, and finally he said, "Come out of her!" And that spirit left, and she was a changed woman. We all say glory to God for that, right? But her masters were not happy about this. Because they were not making any more money off of this gal. So they start a riot. Paul and Silas are now charged for causing a riot in the place. And this is where we pick this up now. Acts chapter 16. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now I found, many of us, we have our imaginations of what this prison actually looked like in Philippi. So I'm going to ask Brother Eck, I found this picture, and this actually is where they believe that this prison was at and what it looked like in Paul's days. And if you look at that, again, a lot of this has been eroded away after the years. But this was where they would put these men in, and as you notice, there's no windows in the place. And it's totally encased, and it goes back up into that mountainside, where they dug that out deep into the mountain. And that's where prisoners were kept at. And we're looking at this story. This jailer had been charged to put them into the inner prison and make their feet fast in stocks. Now, this place was dark in the daytime as pitch black. Anybody been in a cavern in a cave before? I want to give you what they were put into. First of all, they were beaten with stripes. They were flogged. Their skin was ripped off of their back, their heads, their arms. Their clothing was shred. It had blood dripping off of it. And they put them into this place that is pitch black. The place is cold. If you've been down into a cavern or a cave, it's cold. They have no clothes on. Their clothes have been stripped off and beaten. Maybe some undergarments. And it's freezing cold. They're sitting in excrement. You think that all the jailers went in there and cleaned that all up? Absolutely not. They're bleeding. Their limbs have been put into a painful and constrained posture by an instrument that was designed for Roman torture, for the worst of prisoners. So they're contorted, and now it's midnight. Do you understand the picture of what Paul and Silas were involved in right at that moment? Pitch black. Wait a minute. God doesn't lead people into darkness or into situations like that, right? Were Paul and Silas his men? Can you imagine being in that place? Job's wife might have been saying, curse God and die. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, you are in the most contorted, painful position, bleeding. You don't know whether you're going to ever make it out of that place. But they began to sing praises. Now, we've heard this time and time again and over again, but let's realize where these guys were at and what they were dealing with. And they chose to sing praise. What would your response be? You know, what is our response when we are going through things today? When our darkness is here, whether it may be physical issues that we're dealing with, painful situations in our lives, how are we responding to this? A lot of our response would be, and if we were sitting there in that place, God, I don't deserve this. All I ever did was try to work for you. Try to do what you wanted me to, and here I am. What did I do? Get me out of here. Or how many of us would say, I just want to die. I just die and get over this thing. What's our response to our current darknesses that we're in? Paul and Silas shine. They shined in that dark place. And this is what God is looking for from us. When you look at that, they sang praises to God. What? What? Are you serious? In the middle of all that, they began to sing praises. We talked about this earlier, Doris. Why do we sing so much in this church? Just to make you irritated, right? No, to train us when we're in the dark places to sing praises. Most likely, see, they sang praises unto God. Most of the praises that they knew come out of the book of Psalms. They weren't singing worship songs like we sing today. And it's okay for us because today we have those, and in our dark times just begin to worship God. But I believe that they were singing a psalm, and I believe that it probably was Psalm 107. When we look at this, Psalm 107, here is what the psalmist wrote down, and they most likely were singing this. Such as sit in darkness, verse 10. And in the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and iron. Where were they at, John? In that place. Bound with iron, bound with afflictions. Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought them down, their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. They began to sing that. Gloria, they began to sing that where they were at. And what do you think happened after that? God shook the place and the bands fell off. The gates flew open. They were singing the praises of God. They were singing what God had said, folks. And I think we ought to learn to do that. We ought to learn that. God does not give us His Word for just, oh, I think this might be a good thing for you to have. Because there's power in that Word. And when you are in your dark place, God wants us to shine in the darkness. Shine in that darkness. Be the people of God. And shine. When you don't feel like shining. I'm telling you, it is not easy. Do you think that took some discipline for them, Aaron? Because they're human, just like we were. And you say, oh, well, they're just super spiritual guys. They're no different than us. Now, during this time of year, it was extremely cold in that place. And it had been dark ever since they had been cast in there. And I think that Paul and Silas were talking to each other. And Paul said, you know, I recall that psalm. Because Paul knew the Scriptures. He said, let's just sing that. Let's just sing that. And they began to shine. Because listen, all the prisoners heard them. And I can imagine that there might have been some heckling going on. Shut up! We don't want to hear that. We're in awful conditions here. And the more that happened, the louder they got. Let me tell you something. God will not only free you in that place of darkness with the light of His Word, but He will free others. I told you that Miss Pat Buxton was, her body was full of cancer. Full. But she, every person she talked to, including Laura and I, when we got to see her 2 days before she passed, she kept talking about the goodness of God. She kept talking about what God had done and the beauty that He had created. And she continued to talk about that. Now, did Pat get healed from her cancer? No. But she got healed. Hallelujah. Come on, she got healed. But even in her darkness, everybody around her knew of the glory of God. And that should be the way we are. And I'm asking God to help us with that. Help us. Because even your pastor didn't pass that test. And going through the things I went through with the heart surgery. And I complained and I complained and I complained till finally one day the Lord said, well, you've been preaching the last 20 years. It's time to praise. It's time to praise. And God began to bring me out. Bring me out. And He'll do it for us time and time again. Shine when you're in the darkness. Has anybody ever heard of a scripture in James chapter 1? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, darkness. Hardest thing in the world for us to do if we rely on our flesh. But when we turn around and we begin to shine in that dark place, God begins to set us free. God begins to set us free, knowing that the testing of your faith brings forth many, many good things. So let's take note of this. And as it has to do with our world and the things that are going on around us, it's a dark place. Let's stop our whining and complaining about how bad it is. And let's sing praise to God. Let's shine. Let's shine in that dark place. Father, thank you for your word today. And I'm just so thankful that you've just given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. Lord, we want to ask that you would forgive us. Because we've just not been good at being in dark places and still giving you praise. I'm going to ask, Lord, that you would help us for the times that we're in right now and for the times that will come, that we will remember this word. We'll remember. Yea, though I walk and you lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will praise you. Father, just build that into our spirits. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.